Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's see here. All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib.
From boxing.
And we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8, 8:30 tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about Showtime releases their fight schedule. It's not bad. It's pretty good. It's not bad. I mean, it could be worse. Could be better, but it could be worse. Not too bad. Some good fights on there. And Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua have finally agreed, and the fight will happen. So that's going to be good, man. That's going to be good. We'll talk more about that later. First, we get started with Triller. Dean, how crazy is it that we're getting started with this fight, man? Triller, your boy, Ben Askren, champion zone, baby. Look at that, Stipe Miocic, representing Ohio, baby. Representing Ohio, Jake Paul, son. The cows in Ohio are different, man. The milk is different here, son. We are a different breed, son. Different breed. Title Town, baby. Title Town zone. Jake Paul needed just one round, daddy. One round to take out an overmatched Ben Askren. I tell you what, I could have told you on Friday at the weigh-in that Askren wasn't going to win this fight. Beeb, I think you probably thought the same thing. He came in at 191. It looked like he hadn't trained at all. He looked like he just rolled off the couch into the ring, man. Once he got into the ring, it was pretty apparent he didn't train at all because he couldn't throw a punch to save his life. He didn't have very good movement. It was downhill for him. And listen, man, Jake Paul's not the greatest boxer out there. He's not the greatest amateur. He's not the greatest pro. But the guy, listen, he does this probably every day. He's in training. He does this every day. Listen, if he does it every day, chances are he's going to be better than you. And he does this every day. He's bringing in good trainers. He's bringing in sparring partners, everything like that. When you're on that kind of path like that, listen, man, you've got to be ready for this guy. I mean, you've got to put something together here. And Ben Askren, I think I don't even think he took him for granted. I think he was just there for a payday. It was awful, man. You know, Askren was really good in MMA because he's a high-level technical wrestler. He's very, very, like, a high level, almost like Olympic caliber. I don't know if he was in the Olympics or not, but he's that high. He's a really good wrestler. But boxing, man, not so much, man. Jake Paul caught him with a straight overhand right, it looked like. Just kind of tapped him. He thought he was going to the body, popped him in his head, overhand right, put Askren down. Now, Askren beat the count, and to his credit, he beat the count. Honestly, I thought they stopped it a little quick, but he wasn't beating Jake Paul, man. What was the point of going on with that, man? There way it wasn't there. Beeb, I want you to talk to me about Title Town. Talk to me. Why is the best state ever? The best state in the U.S. This is where the champions of Butley would say, champion bred, son. This is where the champs come down.
No question about that, but I mean, if you listen to the Beating the Odds with Beeb,
yep,
on Friday,
absolutely.
I think it was we did it on Thursday.
You had it nailed.
There was no way you were going to lose this bet. There was no way you were going to lose this bet if you took the betting advice for Beating the Odds with Beeb. Thank you, D-Style,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Notorious VC. Jake Paul, the problem child.
Problem child. Early candidate for Fighter of the Year. 100%. 100%. He's beating named guys. Of course, he's Fighter of the Year.
So here's the thing, Eric. You heard this term, and you hear it get thrown around a lot, real fighter, right? Now, what actually is a real fighter? I know what people mean when they say that in regards, and what they did mean in regards to this event. Like, Ben Askren had a professional career in MMA, extensive. Okay, he was a wrestler, whatever. But when you look at the word real fighter, I consider a real fighter. If I jump in the car right now, right, and take a 15-minute ride to Blue Hill Ave, and I'm walking down the street, there's some mean motherfuckers on that street that are going to jump out, and they're gonna fight for real. They're going to jack me up and try to kill me.
Right.
That's what a real fight, like, do you think if Mayweather and Maidana ever fought in the street, I would pick Maidana all day.
All day.
If Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather fought in the street, I would pick Conor McGregor all day.
Long.
You know what I'm saying? So when you talk about real fighting, real fighter, it's not really based on having rules, time limits, a referee to stop the action when you can't continue. So when you hear the term real fighter, it wasn't a real fight last night. It was a boxing match. Okay, so that's the whole thing. When you sit there and hear this stuff, rail this, rail that, people try to put labels on everything. What this was a boxing match. And you can say what you want about Jake Paul. He's not world class. He probably will never be a world champion. He won't be a world champion ever. He's not going to be able to fight at the high level.
No.
But again, could he beat a lower level professional? Can he fight guys that are on his level? Can he beat them? Yes. I mean, based off of the experience he has, I think he's been fighting for 2 years, only been training hard and training like a professional and fighting for 2 years. I mean, the guy's 3-0 as a professional now. He's got 3 knockouts, whatever. So he has a box rack. He does have a career. But the thing is this. When you look at him, based off of the experience he's had, he's totally over-exceeded my expectations. Now, that doesn't mean that he's a world-class fighter or he ever will be a world-class fighter. And they asked him, is he elite? Of course he's not elite. But the thing is this. It is what it is. You know, what you see is what you get. The guy does have proper technique when he throws his punches. He has good balance. He actually displays, you know, skills.
Mm-hmm.
He has proper technique. When you look at him, he's not embarrassing himself in there.
No, not at all.
He's embarrassing some of the opponents he's fighting. That's fine. But then you can say, well, those guys have no experience. But how much experience does he have? He has no amateur background. You know, he's been doing this for a little over 2 years, around 2 years now. Okay? So for him to pick up what he's picked up in such a short period of time, I give the guy credit. I mean, he was setting up his shots. He was jabbing to the body. He was varying up his punches. He was moving well. He wasn't tripping over himself. He had balance. He moved smoothly in there. He displays boxing skills. He looks like a boxer when he's fighting.
Right.
You know, he's not going in there and flailing his arms and, you know, swinging for the fences and looking like a tough man contest contestant. What he's doing in there to me is boxing. Ben Askren has zero striking ability. His striking ability is very, very poor.
Oh,
watching him hit mitts, watching him hit pads, just watching him try to box, really, it's painful to look at.
It was bad. Real bad.
You know, so you had all these MMA guys because they don't want to go against the brotherhood of MMA fighters because he's an MMA fighter. You got guys like Chael Sonnen. You got, Dana White, obviously. You got Daniel Cormier. All these guys, Ben Askren's going to kill him. He's a real fighter. You got friggin', the hell's the guy's name? Joe Rogan's friend there, Brendan Schaub.
Oh, yeah.
All these MMA guys are just going to go with the MMA guy because that's, you know, he's in their circle, right? You and I are great friends, right? I consider you a good friend.
Absolutely.
You call me up one day and you say, hey, B, I'm going to fight Mike Tyson. As much as I love you as a person, I'm not going to say, yeah, man, you can beat him. I'm going to say, my response to you is, I hope you get paid a lot because you're going to get your fucking ass kicked. So these guys, just because they're MMA fighters, they're going to sit there and try to go with the MMA guy. But, you know,
right.
Again, same thing with Brendan Schaub when Conor McGregor was fighting Floyd Mayweather. I mean, you got to separate, you know, the heart from the head sometimes.
Yeah.
The guy just had horrible, horrible striking skills.
Well, you know what gets me, though, is that, you know, listen, if this was in a cage or if this was out in the street, Askren kills this guy.
100%.
The basket can wrestle like nobody's business. But the point is, like, okay, so he's a high-level wrestler. You know, this guy is a high-level wrestler, okay, which means he's a high-level, and we know he's a high-level athlete, okay? You would think that, like, somebody focused on it could really pick this up and move with it. I don't think he trained for this. I don't think he – I mean, and
this was strictly,
this was strictly
a cash-out.
Payola.
Payola.
For sure. Come on, man. Come on.
He didn't even try to win this fight. He didn't even try to look respectable.
No.
At all.
Not even a little bit. A little bit. It was awful.
So what are these MMA guys going to say about him now?
Yeah, I think a lot of them want to fight now, you know. I think a lot of them want to get paid and everything like that. I mean, listen, what about Askren? Got a half a million for it. I mean, that ain't chump change. I think a half a million. I'd go in there with Paul
Jake
for
Paul
half
got
a
like,
million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and Jake Paul got like $690,000 plus a share of the pay-per-view revenue.
That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money.
He's going to make well over $1 million for an eight-round fight. For an eight-round fight that went one round.
Right, for a two-minute destruction, you know, yeah.
How can anyone hate on this kid? What he's doing is genius. It's pure genius.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Listen,
I hate on that.
You get people to like you. That's it. That's it. He's a YouTube guy.
You know, I just want to touch on this real quick, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but, you know, we talked about the whole Triller thing with Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah.
And why are they putting that fight on there? Why are they putting so much money up on that? But, you know, if you've seen recently, they had Holyfield and McBride on that undercard. Well, not even on the undercard. It's almost like a twin bill the way they're advertising it. Did you know that Holyfield McBride is going to be on that same?
Yeah,
same
it's going to be Holyfield McBride and then Teofimo, yeah.
So what I was thinking is all along they wanted Holyfield Tyson to be on that card because Holyfield said, you know, we tried to get Tyson.
Well, sure.
That fell through. So then we went to the guy who beat Tyson. The last guy to beat Tyson was Kevin McBride. So the way they're promoting it, it's almost like it's a twin bill. Like, because when they talk about it, obviously, you know, Teofimo is the main event, but Holyfield and McBride are almost like they're almost like sharing the bill because they talk about it almost, you know, they mention both fights at once. Like they're not. They don't even refer to Holyfield McBride as the co-feature. Mm-hmm. They just say another featured fight on the card is this.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking was that was the plan all along to get Tyson versus Holyfield on that, and that would have really bumped up the interest in the card and the viewership as well.
Sure.
So then I'm also thinking, well, did that maybe bother Tyson with the fact that they may have asked him to kind of like share the bill with Teofimo Lopez and Camposas. Was that part of the – could that be a part of the dispute they may have had?
No, I'll be honest with you. I think what happened – and I know where you're going with this, I think, you know, but I think what happened was Tyson was going to be the main event there. I don't think he was going to share the bill. I don't think it was going to be a co-main there. I think that there was going to be Tyson, Holyfield, and then the undercard. And then, you know, Teofimo was another one we can promote on this. But I don't think, like, they're Holyfield and McBride now sharing the spotlight with, you know, and they're both kind of like co-mains. Yeah, I think they have to do that because McBride's not a huge name. Holyfield's a big name, but not so much McBride. So
yeah.
I think with that, now they can promote both names. But if it was just Tyson and Holyfield, that would be the only name. That would be the main event. He would be the undercard at that point.
And then Chris Mannix made a statement, right? And he goes, well, you know, he was asked about, you know, what do you think of the senior tour? And he goes, yeah, you know, a lot of these guys are doing it because of what Tyson did. But you got to understand, they're not Mike Tyson. They're not going to generate the interest. There's no other legend out there that will generate the interest that Tyson did. But here's the thing. Holyfield will forever be linked with Tyson because of that air bite fight. Mm-hmm. And even kids that really weren't around during that generation, that is forever known in history what happened. Everyone knows about that, even people who weren't around at the time. So that's where Holyfield can generate a lot of popularity interest. And now people are going to be looking at this fight to see how Holyfield, this version of Holyfield, would match up against Tyson if they were to meet. So this is a good prelude to a potential Tyson fight. And I think based off of that, people are going to be interested in seeing how much Holyfield has left. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think this card is, you know, the whole thing with Holyfield McBride. Obviously, it's not going to be what Holyfield Tyson would have been, but I still think it's going to get some interest because of people are going to be interested in seeing how good Holyfield looks based, you know, to see how he would match up against Tyson for a future fight.
Sure.
So I think that's going to be a good, something that's going to attract people to the event.
Yeah. I see Robert on the line. We're going to get to him in a minute. I see a couple of others on the line, guys. We're going to get to you in just about maybe five minutes or so. We're just going to gloss over the rest of this card, then I'm going to start going to calls here in a minute.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear what you guys have to say about the card last night also. Train wreck of the week this week, there are two. The first one, Regis Prograis versus Ivan Redkak. Jesus. You know, the fight wasn't great. It was, just a one-sided beating, basically. Prograis wins a six-round technical decision over Ivan Redkak. Prograis dominated the fight, but in the sixth round landed a low blow. So you watch him hit him a low blow, or so we thought. Redkak fell down. He rolled around in the ring like it was the worst pain he ever had. However, the replay showed Prograis didn't even hit him. That's right. He didn't even touch him, son. Didn't even touch him. You watch the glove. The glove lands on the side of his body. The glove doesn't even hit his body. Like, his forearm lands on the side of his body. Half of it's blocked. So the punch, like, missed. And wasn't even a solid body shot. Nothing, man. Even one of the announcers asked, did we forget? Did he forget he had instant replay? You know, it's like, we all see this. We all see you're faking it. I mean, it's clear as day. You didn't get hit. I mean, not even a little bit. And so I would assume that they're going to protest to try to turn that fight back into a knockout, because that was just nonsense. And I tell you what, I don't ever want to see Ivan Redkak again, ever.
Yeah, that was a real bad. That was a real bad.
Awful.
You know, and in defense to the referee, from the angle he was at, he couldn't see where that punch landed. There was, you know, but again,
but the double down after you've seen the replay.
Yeah.
Come on, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Second train wreck of the week. Listen, man, Frank Mir and Steve Cunningham fought, and it was the kind of fight you'd expect. It was Steve Cunningham won by the scores of 60-54 twice and 58-56. Listen, man, the fight wasn't that interesting. But here's where our train wreck of the week comes in. What was interesting is that they brought out a coked-up Oscar De La Hoya to the announcer's booth to help announce the fight. Oscar was very creepy. He was very high. He was on something. Listen, he was on something, all right? You know, he kept talking about Steve Cunningham's body, making multiple references to how he's in great shape and look at his abs. You know, I mean, just real creepy, man. This guy was, like, amped up to the gills, man. Listen, I don't know a lot about drugs, B. You're our drug expert. I know you do all that, the coke and stuff like that. I know you do all that stuff. Listen. I don't know, because it's Triller and they got Snoop there and everybody had weed over there. That's kind of like part of the show, I guess. No, I don't know that weed does that to you. I don't know. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you. I don't know. I know, like, alcohol slows you down. I would think weed slows you down as well. He was amped up, man. He was real amped up. He was on something.
Well, here's the question. It's not the question is, was he on something?
What was he
the
on?
Question is, how many things was he on at once?
Jesus.
Because if you have, you know, again, Beeb will never touch cocaine, ever. That is the worst. I've seen people.
Cocaine.
I've seen people. I've been to parties and people doing coke had to be rushed to the hospital because their heart felt like it was going to rip out of it. I never smoked a joint in my life. Last time I drank alcohol, I was 17 years old. That stuff I don't drink.
Beeb's living clean, baby.
I'm not against stimulants, though. I like my caffeine. Don't get me wrong. Like my caffeine. Like my ginseng a little bit. I don't even take the ginseng anymore. I'm basically caffeine. But enough with me. So the thing is this. He must have been on everything in the book, first of all, because he was like on a dopamine high. He was like, you know, you have people who are happy when they're high. You have people who kind of are sad when they're high, and you have people who are angry when they're high. But he's actually, like, really stupid when he's high. Like, he's like...
I think it just amplifies his personality. I think he's probably stupid all the time.
Yeah, so he's a dum-dum. The things he was saying, hey, USSR. The dude's American. Why are you calling him Russian?
USSA, USSR, you know. He has no idea. He's on that cane.
He's crazy, man.
He's on that white girl, son. He's on the
radio. You can look at his face and his eyes, how they were all fucking glassy and shit. Al Bernstein was hilarious throughout that whole contest. Like, they're sitting there freaking smoking and shit, and they're intentionally blowing it in his face. Then Al Bernstein's, like, drinking he's drinking some type. I think he's drinking, whiskey or some shit. And he's like,
oh, was he?
Toasting everybody. Yeah. Al Bernstein was awesome, man.
How awesome would it be to be on one of those Thriller events? Jesus.
Guess who was there? Carpenter was there.
Oh, was he?
They were actually going to Carpenter, and Carpenter, like, was dropping F-bombs and shit when they were asking him questions. Like, everyone was trying to fit in and be cool and shit.
Oh,
so people,
God.
Like, think about this, Ray Flores. Imagine Ray Flores. He looks like a little elementary schoolboy, and he's dropping F-bombs and shit. And then, like, Snoop Dogg is like, he goes like, me and Al are going to go into the room, the green room, after the show and smoke a little sticky, icky, icky. And then, what's his name? Flores goes, can I come too? And then Snoop goes, you better ask your mom. He goes, you better ask your parents. You need a permission slip. It's like, dudes that, like, and credit to Mario Lopez, he kind of stayed in character for who he is. He didn't kind of try to be, but everyone was trying to, like, go over the top because they were trying to, like, outdo each other because of the platform they were on.
Right.
Everyone was trying to be, like, a little bit, like, over the top and, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy and X-rated a little bit here and there, but you know, it's funny. It was just funny seeing them like smoking joints and like smoking it. And then they were like intentionally like blowing it in Al Bernstein's direction. They were trying to get him a contact high. Yeah. Snoop was himself,
yeah.
but Ray Flores wasn't himself. Mike Carpenter wasn't himself.
Oscar De La Hoya definitely wasn't himself.
So they had, like, Mike Carpenter out there, like, little roving reporter and shit in the stands, whatever. Yeah. Fucking God.
Unbelievable. All right, let's get Wingside Robert on the line here.
Hello, guys.
Robert, you're live. What's happening?
Tell everyone what you did yesterday.
I was just going to set up the story.
Go ahead and
tell
everyone. No, because let me tell you something. He is notorious. He does this to me constantly. Go ahead. Tell him what you did.
You want me to tell him what you did?
I was going to set it up, B. Last night, I'm sitting here watching TV, and I got a notification on my phone saying that Jake Paul won the fight in the first round. And I thought, well, okay, I'm glad I didn't pay for that. So I sent B the text, and I said, hey, Jake Paul won the fight in the first round. I hope you didn't pay for that pay-per-view, you know. And I'm thinking once
they send
out...
Why would you do that, Eric?
I'm thinking once they send out the notification that people have already watched the fight. So I didn't think I was ruining anything for anybody.
Robbie, I was dead asleep, right? I had it DVR'd, right? I fell asleep. I woke up at 1:30. Then I read your text. And then I woke up and I was like, oh shit, I missed the fight. Let me go watch it. Let me go watch the recording that I DVR'd. And then I get your text and you're like, tell me he fucking ended in a first round knockout. I already freaking knew the result before I watched the fight.
That's a douche move.
You didn't even apologize to me. You're like,
didn't even apologize.
I'm sorry.
You apologize to me. I think you should actually pay for half the pay-per-view now because of that.
He does that to me, too. Like, hey, did you see he got knocked out in the third round? And I'm like, dude, I'm not watching the fight. And he was like, okay, well, when you watch the next one, just know that it ends early. What are you talking about?
Robbie, you are the biggest hater ever, man. You know what?
Well,
everyone's getting COVID vaccine. You should get the hater vaccine. That's what you should do. You need to get the hater vaccine.
That was messed up, man. That was a big
I
bad
I didn't do that. I didn't do that on purpose. So
clearly you did it on purpose.
You ruined my Saturday night, Robbie. You ruined my Saturday night. Ruined it.
You
destroyed it. You never get it back now. How are you going to ever make that up to me, Robbie?
Yeah.
Well,
how do I tell Mrs. Herrick what you did to me?
Oh, no. She heard our conversation this afternoon. She knows, B. So
yeah. Right. How many weeks did you get? Well, how many weeks are you on? How many weeks did you get grounded for? No dessert for the next six. No dessert for the next 6 weeks for you.
Hey, good
no,
for
no.
him. Hey, good for you. Yeah, that's right.
She,
that's what needs to happen.
She didn't do anything, so it's all right.
Well, let me tell you what. She showed up. Just for that move alone.
I'm going to call her up, and I'm going to give her a list of punishments that I think she should implement on you right
yep.
now.
Anyway, I called to talk about the Tony Harrison site yesterday with Brian Perella. Beeb, now you were watching that. Did you finish that?
Yes, I.
Well, we're talking about it on the show.
We're talking about me. Of course, I have to watch it by now because we're doing the show, Robbie.
Well, no,
I
know
don't,
that.
Don't spoil it for us.
I wanted to make sure you
talking about a fight at 7:25. Talking about a fight at 7:25 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
It's safe to talk about them now. Yeah,
no, I wanted
about
to make sure you finished watching it before I started talking about it, so I don't screw it up again.
And then he goes, I hope you didn't buy the pay-per-view. Meanwhile, I tell everyone that I buy every single pay-per-view that's ever
right, you knew he was buying the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You knew I was going to buy it. Cut it out.
All right.
But go ahead.
Anyway, I watched the Tony Harrison-Brian Perella fight, and I thought that was a good fight. And like I told Beeb earlier today, I did score the draw. But I think Roy Jones is going to make a tremendous difference in Brian Perella's corner. I was very impressed with the way he had him ready for yesterday's fight.
Yeah. You know, Robbie, you know what I was going to say, and I agree with you 100%, because normally I'm the type of person where I think a lot of emphasis gets put too much on the trainer. Sometimes I think a trainer gets too much credit for a win and he gets too much blame for a loss.
Absolutely.
A lot of times I think, you know, but in this instance, I think Roy Jones definitely made an impact because you could see the rapport the two guys had. You could see they were on the same wavelength. You could see when Roy Jones was giving him instructions, how he was able to do exactly what Roy Jones told him to do. And when Roy Jones did give him instructions, he gave him specific instructions. He didn't just tell him the generalization type things like, oh, let your hands go, keep your hands up high. You know, he actually gave him detailed instructions. You know, when you get here, you need to position yourself here, throw that punch, and then throw this punch. When you throw your jab, you know, double it up, then step over to your right, and then drop your left hand, whatever. He was giving him, very specific instructions, and he was following them. You could see everything Roy Jones told him to do, he was doing it. So you could definitely tell that Roy Jones did have a great impact on Perella's performance last night, 100%.
And I was blown away by the announcer saying that Tony Harrison admitted that he didn't like sparring with southpaws, didn't like fighting southpaws, couldn't remember if he ever fought any southpaws. And I'm thinking before the fight starts, after they start talking about that, I'm thinking, well, if he's never had any experience with southpaws and he doesn't like fighting southpaws, he's going to have difficulty. And he was lucky to get a draw, in my opinion, because the way they were talking about him before the fight, I'm thinking, well, if he's got that much trouble, what's he doing in the ring, you know?
Well, the thing is this, I mean, he was like a 6-1 favorite going into the fight. And I actually thought Perella did win the fight. I thought he kind of won it clearly, but,
okay.
If you look back, you can see some swing around the first round, maybe. Some of those middle rounds, I just thought that Perella won the fight, but I didn't hate the draw, to be honest with you.
No, I didn't.
I didn't hate the draw. But I think the big thing with that fight was I think Perella's movement. Like, he would go in and out, and he would throw his combinations. And as soon as he, you know, finished the combination, he would either step off to the side, slide back, and circle. He never stood still for Harrison. And Harrison's the type of guy, even though he's known to be a good defensive fighter, doesn't move his feet a lot. He keeps his feet planted in one spot for a long time, and he likes to fight out of that high guard, and he likes to catch and parry, and when he parries the shot, he likes to shoot his shot over the top. And he likes to kind of move his head a little bit, but he doesn't step out of the pocket. He tries to stay in the pocket too long, and he believes that he could parry and counter over the top. But sometimes if he misjudges the timing of his opponent's punches, or if an opponent decides to double up and throw two quick jabs, you can't parry both of them. You can only parry one, and if the other one's coming right behind it before you can parry it down, your opponent's pulling it back and snapping it right back out there before you can go over the top, and you're gonna have some problems. So he needs to learn to get out of that pocket, because that's what hurt him when he got knocked out with Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson knocked him out because he stayed in that pocket too long. Same thing with Charlo. You know, so he's gotta know that he's gotta get out of that pocket and reset. He just can't stand there and think he's gonna catch everything with his gloves. Because he couldn't, because Perella was blanketing him with combinations. He was just mixing up the shots beautifully. Beautifully.
Yeah, no, it was entertaining, and you could tell, like in the corner, Roy Jones, you're right, he was giving detailed instructions, and it was almost like Brian Perella was going to school in the corner, you know, it was like, and most trainers, oh, come on, you're doing good, or okay, this is what you need to do. No, every time they went to the corner, he was giving him detailed instructions. It was almost like, okay, remember, we're still in the gym. This is what you need to work on. And he did that throughout the entire fight. I was very impressed.
Yeah. Many? I don't know. Many? I didn't think either one of them looked that great, I got to be honest.
You know, that's why we do this show, because everyone has a right to their own opinion.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know who I thought looked great? Titletown looked great. Hey, what'd you think of Jake Paul, Robert?
Well, I didn't watch
Titletown
it.
Titletown representing,
son.
What do you think about that?
Hey, was
well,
he?
You didn't
he
watch it. You told me about the fight. Why didn't you?
You didn't watch it, but
you had no problem
reporting on it. You had no problem reporting on it, though, did you?
Hey, when my phone alerts me, I let people know.
Then you alert everybody else. You just like CNN or something like that. You just throw out your own alert. I got to call B.
Robbie, are you that person that goes to the mall during Christmas, right? And when the little kids are sitting on Santa, do you walk up to little kids and whisper in the air,
hey, that's not really Santa. That's a guy dressed.
No,
that's a guy dressed like Santa.
Do you do that, Robbie? Do you do stuff like that, Robbie?
Yeah,
come on.
Stuff like that.
Come on, Joe. I've never done anything like that. Get out of here with that.
I've never been to a mall, Joe.
I'm going to ask Mrs. Herrick about that. I will ask Mrs. Herrick about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that?
But,
Jeff, we're calling the show. We'll talk to her through you from now on, all right? That way we know she's not going to ruin the fights for us. You know what I'm saying?
You want to tell everyone else about the other thing we talked about, or you want to keep it under wraps for now?
No, you tell it. You tell it. Now, business is out now. You tell it.
I'm getting two smart TVs. I'm getting them hooked up this week, which means I'll be able to get both DAZN and ESPN Plus, so I will be able to watch all the fights.
Welcome to the 20th century.
Jesus. Yeah, I'm about 6 years too late. Where you been, son? They've had smart TVs forever.
Eric, how big
are the TVs you bought? You better have bought a big one, too.
Eric, give me
credit.
No,
I bought TVs
you know
for the size of our house, Eric, so, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Robbie got them 100-inch, baby.
Yeah, right.
All over the wall.
I'm proud of you, Robbie. I'm proud of you.
You proud?
pretty soon, you and I will be able to do live. You'll be able to do live commentaries on the fights pretty soon when you get that DAZN hookup.
Well,
me and you, Robbie.
Yeah. Well, I'll be calling you this week because I'm probably going to need your help with that. So.
All right, we'll take care of it.
We'll take care of it. Somebody from Beeb Industries will be out to do the installation.
We'll send someone out there for a nominal fee.
Yeah. All right, Robert, we're going to get running, man. You've taken enough abuse from us today.
All right, one more question.
All right, Robbie, take it easy, man.
Oh, hold on.
Out of here. Do you know how much the pay-per-view is going to be on May the 1st?
55, I think.
55?
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
All right.
That's not bad.
All right.
All right.
You're going to go to 805. You're live.
Is that Nacho?
I don't know.
Hey, guys.
805.
What's up?
Nacho,
hey guys,
what's up?
Nacho?
What was up with your boy Delahoya last night?
What's going on? What's up with your boy Delahoya? What happened
with
him, brother?
What's up with him?
I don't know, man.
You and him doing
lines?
You was doing lines?
You and him doing lines?
You was doing lines?
You and him doing lines in the battle?
Was you, son?
Were you and him doing lines
down there?
As someone famous once said, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. I don't know what's up with that dude, man. He's got too much time, free time and too much money on his hands. That's what happened.
Dwayne M., that's a hard no.
So with the fight, you guys are talking about it right now. That was the absolute worst acting job by Ivan Redcatch I've seen since Terry Norris got disqualified for knocking out hitting Luis Santana illegally back in the day.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was bad. That was,
that was
really
horrible.
Bad.
Not you were watching boxing back then, not you were watching boxing back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was.
He saw a video of it. Yeah, watch. He saw a video.
You, did you watch it?
No,
or
I watched
it.
No, I watched that in
You're
person.
A young guy, Notch. I wouldn't think you were around. I didn't think you were
yeah,
watching
I didn't
back
think
then.
You around then. Yeah, how old are you, Notch? You,
yeah, I was.
Not you watching
I was,
not you watching
when
SpongeBob
when the,
back then.
No, when the first fight happened, I was 13.
13, so, Notch?
Yeah.
How old are you, Notch?
Yep.
Oh, look at that.
I'm 40.
How old are you, Notch?
40.
Oh, he's only 40,
you were,
B. He's just a puppy, man.
He sounds like he's like in his 20s the way
yeah,
he talks.
He's a little puppy, man. Look at him.
Well, I thought he was a young kid.
Little puppy.
Nah.
Jason, we're going to go to you next, man.
So, yeah.
So,
so
was,
yeah, that
was
Oscar
on them lines or what? He was doing them lines?
Not,
yeah,
did, you buy
I guess so.
Did you buy the pay-per-view, Nacho? Did you buy it?
No, I watched it later on. I didn't buy it. I just watched the fights later on.
Did Robbie ruin the pay-per-view for you, too?
Did Robbie text
no,
you and
thank
tell you
God.
Who won?
Thank God Robbie doesn't have my number.
What would you do? Let me ask you this, Notch. If Robbie did that to you, would you block him?
Oh, depending on how big the fight was. Like, if he's doing it for something
ooh,
like
Notch
this.
Had to think about it.
He had to think about it. He had to think about it. So, yeah, he would have done
Notch
it.
Notch was going
to
put him on the do not call list.
You know what was great? You know what was great about last night is Beef texted me. He was so mad. He texted me. He was like, I'm blocking him.
I couldn't do it, though.
He was like, I'm blocking him.
I couldn't do it.
Wow.
You know what? Well, like, remember Lord of the remember the Hobbit when the Hobbit, like, had the ring, the Hobbit had the ring on? And he was jumping out of that cave, but he could have stabbed Gollum in the back. But he felt that one little bit of like compassion and sympathy for Gollum. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
That's how I always feel when I get mad.
What are you talking about? Who's Gollum? What are you talking about?
Please, Eric, the grown folks are talking. The grown folks are talking. That's how I always feel every time.
Something like that. What are you doing?
That's how I always feel when I get mad at Robbie and I say I'm going to write him off. I always at the very end of my rage, I say to myself, I feel bad for this kid. You know, you never saw The Hobbit?
No.
What kind of childhood did you have? You never
watching
saw The
that
Hobbit?
Nonsense, man.
Childhood? Didn't that even
come out like a few years ago?
Nah, you know, you watched The Hobbit, right?
Yeah, I saw those movies.
Oh, come on.
You know who Gollum is, right?
Jesus Christ.
You know when he was entering, he was getting ready to leave the cave, but he had the ring on his finger and he was invisible, and he had the dagger in his hand.
I don't need to hear it again.
He was going to stab him, but then he felt bad for him. That's how I feel when I get mad at Robbie.
Okay.
I have that little bit of Eric Lee
just
killing the moment,
Beeb,
you're killing the climax.
You're putting Eric
the climax. All right, go ahead.
You're killing the climax.
Yeah. Real quick, the card that Robbie was talking about with Harrison and Perella, I was like, I thought Perella did enough to win that fight clearly. But, I mean, you know, a draw, I'm not really all that mad about it. I mean, you know, you could kind of make a case that maybe Harrison might have done enough to get a draw, but he definitely didn't deserve the win. I thought Perella outboxed him for most of the fight with just
guys, that fight
spots
was boring, man.
It was.
You didn't like the Harrison fight either?
I didn't like it.
Oh, I liked that fight.
I didn't care for the Harrison.
Oh, I thought there was some good action in that fight. Wow. Yeah. Did you like that fight, Notch?
Yeah, it was a decent fight. I'm not going to sit here and say it was great.
It was a good fight.
It had enough action. It had enough action where it wasn't completely boring, you know? So, but yeah, I thought Perella won that fight, but, you know, they gave him the draw, which I thought was a bit unfair, but I'm not really mad at the draw. I mean, I think both guys will get another fight at some point anyway. Your boy, though, I don't know if you guys got to see it, Melnicki looked bad last night. I was very surprised.
He didn't look – well, you know what? The guy he was fighting, let's touch on that. Yeah, let's go into that for a second here, Beeb. Bill Melnicki lost his first pro fight last night against James Martin by majority decision, 77-75, 79-73, and 76-all. I'm not sure what happened with Melnicki in this fight, man, but his corner seemed to be indicating to me that he wasn't taking instruction, you know. And the only thing this is immediately after the fight, my mind's ticking, and, like, I'm thinking, I wonder if it's time, like, you know, with this kind of thing, because he came home, by his own admission, because he was kind of homesick, he felt more comfortable at home and everything like that. You know, that guy was taking the fight to him. Reminded me a lot of, like, the Mexican fighters, those pressure type of fighters. And he had trouble with that. The same thing he would have found in California with all the sparring out there, with Goosen's gym. I'm just saying, is it time? Would that be a good move for him to say, look, man, I know I'm homesick, but it's either do or die now. I think I want to go out to Goosen, because Goosen can make a real good change, I think, with this guy.
I mean, I don't get why he left Goosen. I mean, the whole thing about being homesick, I get it, but
homesick.
At the same time,
18.
Yeah. I mean,
you're
40. I get it, but at the same
kids
no,
18.
I don't. Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
But I went away to the military. I was homesick, but I had to stick it out, man, because I was doing it for the country. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices sometimes in life. I'm sorry.
What did you do in the military? You're probably in a band or something like that.
You got to laugh. So my first MOS, which is called Military Occupational Specialty,
right.
I was called a 31 Lima. I was a wire systems installer. You know, you know what that is? So they used to have these trucks, and we would run wire, and I would, like, hold, like, the wire and shit, and I would, like, run. I used to have to climb poles with the gaffs, but I felt this is what happened. I was on one of the poles and I fell a couple of times, so I asked him if I could reclass my MOS. Then I was actually a cook in the Army for a great period of time.
All right.
94 Bravo. Yeah, I didn't like doing that. Plus, they were going to phase out the 31 Limas anyway, so I became a cook in the Army.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
I was a good shot. I was a good shot too, man. Like, when I used to qualify with my M16, I was a marksman.
You were a marksman for real?
Yeah, I was pretty good. Out of 40 shots, I hit like friggin' 36.
What is it? Marksman and an expert, right? Expert is the top one.
It's marksman, sharpshooter, and expert.
I don't know. I think my dad may have qualified an expert. He was in the Marines, so I think he may have qualified an expert on one and maybe sharpshooter on the other one.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Yeah.
If he's listening, Dad, text in. Let me know what you were. So yeah,
your dad a Marine? Was your dad a Marine or an
Yeah,
Army?
He was in the Marines. Yeah, he was.
Oh,
Marine.
That's no joke. He had way harder training than me.
Yeah, he was. He was in the Marines through Vietnam and stuff like that. So yeah.
But that Melnicki fight, I had it 57-55. I thought of, you know, the thing about it is I like he lost the first three rounds, but then I like how he won the next three. I thought he came back in the next three, but then I thought he lost the last two.
That guy was just putting pressure on him, man.
But also the guy was moving very well. And what another thing the guy was doing was he was just popping that jab like crazy.
He was a good fighter, man.
Yeah, he had kind of like an off-speed type jab. Like, he just kept varying up the speed of that jab. And it was really – you could tell it was very hard for Melnicki to adapt to the speed of that jab and just the way he was throwing it. Sometimes he would double it, triple it. He kept varying up the sequence of how many times he would throw it out there. You know what I mean?
That guy was fast, man. That guy was a good fighter. Three losses. I think the guy had two or three losses. The guy was a good fighter, man.
The thing too is, I said this to Eric earlier, and tell me what you think about this, Nacho. It's good that something like this happens early in his career than later, because now he could learn from it and work, you know, build on it and get better moving forward, because he's only 18.
Yeah, that's true. I was actually going to suggest, I mean, I don't know if it's possible, but I was just kind of thinking about this right now. Maybe he doesn't want to come all the way back to California to be with Goosen, But what about him being with a trainer like Andre Rozier?
Good move, Notch. That's a good suggestion.
I think that guy could teach him everything that Goosen can, and he doesn't have to fly all the way to the West Coast. I mean, I just think that might be a better fit. Yeah. But, yeah, I agree, Beeb. I think him losing now is better for him than losing later on when he's more of a developed fighter at, like, 22, 23 versus right now that he's 18. You know?
He's 18, guys.
He didn't get stopped. This is the type of performance where you look at it and say, wow, he got ruined. You know what I mean? Because he showed some promise in there.
No.
Yeah, I mean, he came back in those, you know, in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. So he fought hard in the fight. You know, he showed a lot of courage in the fight. And, you know, if you look at him, he didn't look discouraged. He didn't look like he was terribly hurt, but obviously he was
disappointed. He looked disappointed, obviously, but nothing.
At the end, he looked disappointed at the end. But during the fight, you could see when someone feels like they're giving up. And he didn't have that look of resignation or that look of frustration in there. He was poker-faced in there, even throughout all the adversity he was dealing with, because you could tell it had to have been a very frustrating situation for him.
Oh, sure.
Dealing with this guy who was constantly moving and slipping and fainting and stuff. He couldn't pin the guy down.
No. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he couldn't. Boy,
I tell you what, Jason's really
model.
Giving you the business in the chat, Nacho. Oh my God.
Jason is talking mad trash.
Wow.
About
he said you're boring. He's the next caller.
We need to set up a match between you and Jason.
What about that, man? Wouldn't that be good if we could?
I'll give you guys $20,000 apiece, man. Three rounder.
$20,000. I'm thinking like $50, man. I'm like, you know,
they're amateurs. They have no skills. $20,000 apiece, $10,000 bonus for the winner.
Jesus, I'm thinking, like I said, man, like $100 or something like that. $50.
We gotta get him in the ring.
Where are you getting money at? What do you got? A stimulus coming that nobody knows about?
Oh, you know, maybe she's got a little bit of a.
Sure about that. We're getting another stimulus. Apparently, we're getting like five.
Keep them coming.
We're getting
keep
like
them coming.
It's gonna be like monthly.
Keep stimulating me, baby. I love the stimulation.
Love it, son. You just keep that money coming, boy.
I love the stimulation.
How you doing? I'm sitting home getting money, getting paid.
Beeb Industries has really had some great growth this year, man. This pandemic has not affected us one bit.
We're recession proof, though. That's the difference between us and a lot of we're recession proof, son.
We're recession proof.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man.
Really
move on
quick,
to our next
guys,
caller
I
here.
Wanted to touch really quick on Andre and Williams.
Yeah, the
Andre,
fight sucked too.
He looked
awful. He looked awful, Nacho. Come on. What are we going to elaborate on? He didn't look great.
He
should have got
great,
that guy out of there.
He did enough to win, and he fought a tough guy. I mean, come
what
on.
What do you mean he could beat Canelo?
A little bit of credit.
You
got to give him a little bit
Canelo?
Of credit,
you think he could beat Canelo?
No.
You said he could beat Canelo?
You,
come on, man. Stop.
No.
Nacho, I'm going to run down a couple list of people. Can he beat Charlo?
50-50 fight.
Can he?
Can he beat Ringside Robert? Nope. Can he beat Charlo? Nope.
I'll tell you all. I think Devrinchenko beats him. I think Charlo beats him. I think Billy Joe Saunders would beat him. I think Canelo beats him. I think all the top guys would beat him.
Yeah, I think all the top guys beat him too. All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man. 706, Jason. You're live.
Man, when Nacho called in, we had like 33 viewers, and when we left, it was like 28. So he fucking put five people to sleep. Man, you guys gotta fucking hurry up with these boring ass callers. Come on. I'm glad Beeb finally got an HD cam and a new mic with that Biden stimulus. Man, I'm telling you, Beeb, I told you to vote for Biden, man. You should have listened to me sooner. You know, I'm flying. You finally got
always
the top
notch equipment over here.
Always
HD. Always had an HD camera, buddy. Always had HD camera. You know what? Can I tell you what happened? You know what my internet?
Yeah.
I got 1.2 meg. I got 1,200 megs download now. My internet's through the roof.
Hey,
they gave me like the
that Angel Barrientos kid who lost like a couple of months ago, he came back and got a win last night also on PBC.
I thought it was Omar. Yeah, Omar won. Omar was like first round knockout, wasn't it?
Yeah, the other brother, Omar, his fight like didn't get televised. It was like a swing bout, but they both won.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, Rito, that was bad matchmaking. I was, like, talking about during the fight, like, PBC rushed him a little bit, but his dad is, like, a local promoter of Rito, so they approved that opponent. They have been saying this is the step-up we've been waiting for. So that was, like, three fights soon, I think. Rito still doesn't have his man strength. You could see that. That opponent landed one shot, and as soon as he landed that one shot on the button, Rito's whole look changed. Like, yeah, that deer in the headlight looked the whole night. So, you know, he was – and I'm not sure he doesn't want to go train with Rito. He doesn't want to train with Joe because there's nobody in that gym, bro. He should go train with RGBA where there's other kids where he could, you know, he could relate to those kids. He could stay at that camp. He's homesick because there's nobody in that Goosen gym. It's like Areola and old dudes. He should be training with Robert Garcia. There's like young kids training there, and you know, he's going to get really good sparring.
I would like to see him with Robert Garcia.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That would be a good move.
Also,
that would be definitely a good move.
I think they should go there too. They would be so much better at RGBA, I think, because there's a lot of young kids there. You know, there's Jose Zito. There's fucking Jose Ramirez. There's fucking Virgil Ortiz.
Are you hanging out at Garcia's gym?
No, but I watch ES News, so I know.
You just watch Sec Back videos? You just watch ES News and get the videos and just make your own opinions that way?
Jason, let me just say this one thing. Let me just interject this one thing. Everyone's sitting there saying, like, Milnecki got destroyed yesterday. He lost the fight, but I had it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like five rounds to three. Like it was a five round.
But he did
three.
Take Beeb. He did take a lot of punishment. He took a lot of clean punches to the dome. Like he took a lot of punishment.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it wasn't the greatest of situations he was in yesterday. But I think a lot of people are really like going overboard with I had people texting me, he got a beating. He didn't get a beating. He lost the fight, but he didn't get a beating.
Sure. No, he's still tall. How come you guys didn't do a video about the Showtime schedule, man? I thought you would have done like a whole video about the Showtime schedule.
We're not PR people. You did PR work for Jason Paul. You did a video for Jake Paul. That's PR work.
How are you not going to do a video about the best schedule in boxing?
I'm breaking down a fight.
Showtime has the best schedule.
On my W-2, when I fill out my W-2 at the end of the year, it does not say PR person. You know what it says? It says health inspector / boxing analyst.
Yeah.
That's on my W-2.
I've seen it, son.
I do not draw a PR salary.
If Eddie dropped the schedule like that, you would do a video. Don't front.
Behavior is proof.
It is.
Look at all my videos. Go down the list. There is no video on my catalog on Ringside Reporter or Eric that says schedule on it. We don't do schedule. We don't do
you guys think
videos
about the schedule?
For
stop
schedule.
Beep. Stop fucking that.
We're
going to
talk about the schedule later.
We're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the schedule later. Also, I was going to say these numbers, these pay-per-view numbers are coming out. Don't buy that shit because pay-per-view numbers don't come out overnight. And also,
no, I heard Ryan Jake Paul fight did a 4.0. That's what I heard. I heard it did four solid, son.
I'm here it did 2 million at least.
I'm here it's like 200,000 under the record, son. That's what I'm hearing. That's
Jason,
what I heard.
Yeah,
I don't
he
know.
Beat Canelo's pay-per-view
I think
numbers.
It's
he beat
be...
Canelo GGG. Dude, Jake Paul beat Canelo GGG pay-per-view numbers. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, did you see Jay Leon Love in the corner there? I didn't know he was down with Jake Paul, son.
He's been living with Jake, dude. He's been living with Jake forever. Yeah, forever.
He's sparring with him, too?
Also, guys,
he's
going to fight T. Woodley. I think Jay Leon would whoop T. Woodley in a boxing match. If he fought Tyron Woodley, Jay Leon would beat him. I think so.
He's going to box Tyron Woodley?
They've been talking shit back and forth last night, so they might. I hope they do. Why not?
Jay Leon Love, right? That's who you're talking about?
Yeah, Jay Leon used to be a Mayweather fighter. No, he's retired now. He doesn't box anymore. I guess he's just like a sparring partner now. So he's just, you know, making money sparring and shit.
He'll kill Woodley. That's not even close.
Guys, didn't you guys think the Jones versus Tyson production was way better? I thought the production last night was kind of iffy. I thought the Jones-Tyson was really sharp. Last night was kind of...
I'll be honest with you, man. I didn't really care for the production. I mean, I fast-forwarded through all of it. It looked like, I mean, it looked like they had a lot of big stars. I thought I saw Justin Bieber on there or whatever, but I'm fast-forwarding through all the stuff just trying to get to the fights. It's hard to watch those things live. It really is.
Yeah, but they had Ice Cube doing live performance. They had Too Short. They had Too Short there.
I don't know who
they
Too
brought,
Short is.
Doja Cat?
He wouldn't. But they brought
Doja Cat?
they brought out all the OGs for this one, baby. They had all the OGs.
Dude, they had fucking coked out Oscar. Oscar was fucking coked out of his mind.
He passed away,
what
Eric,
the fuck is wrong with
us? How am I supposed to know? I don't keep up with this stuff.
Eric, please.
How am I supposed
Did
to know? What I'm
Frank
just supposed to know that?
Oscar? Did you, hey, Eric, you should go on Twitter
what?
And see
what
Frank Mir just posted. Pull up Frank Mir's
what
tweet.
What did he post?
He said Oscar needs to go to rehab. That's what he just posted.
Dang. Yeah, he sure does need
Oscar
to go to rehab, man. That was messed up.
Was he wrong?
Jacked up. No, he was jacked up.
No,
he's not wrong.
They asked him last night
remember when the Canelo fight happened with Floyd? Oscar was in rehab. Al Heyman sent Richard Schaefer to rehab with a $100 million check offer to Oscar to buy Golden Boy. Oscar rejected it. That dummy should have fucking taken that offer back then. Heyman sent
Oscar said yes, but then he recanted on it. He was going
to
sell.
Yeah, he recanted because he's got too much pride. You know, he doesn't want to lose to Al Heyman. He doesn't want to admit that Al Heyman succeeded. Like, he doesn't want to admit that shit. That's why he's like, he was taking shots at Eddie and DAZN last night. He's like, congrats to Eddie and DAZN. Best of luck to him tonight because he's doing a show with Triller. He thought DAZN was going to flop or something. Like, I don't know. He's taking shots at DAZN now.
Let me ask you a question. I have to ask you, do you hear the rumor that Fox may drop PBC next year?
It's not a rumor, Beavis. Rick Glazer, the liar, fucking starting bullshit lies. It's not a
rumor. No, I'm not even talking about him. He's an idiot, that guy. Someone else told me it.
They've been saying this for years. Every 2 years we hear PBC is getting dropped. PBC is getting dropped. It's been going on for 8 years. We only hear that about PBC. We never hear that about Top Rank or Master. Just think about that. And PBC is doing the biggest rating. PBC is kicking Bob Arum's Top Rank's ass on ESPN. ESPN ratings are in the gutter. PBC is still doing 1.2 million average. Like that fight last night, Harrison, that fight got 1.1 million at least. Just wait till the ratings come out tomorrow. So, you know,
Hey,
PBC's
Jason, before I move forward here, does Snow Queen have an OnlyFans account?
No, but she's got an exclusive Instagram account where she posts her X-rated picture. So it's called Snow Queen LA Fans. Follow that account.
You want us to get her on the show? Because we'll get her on the show then. All right, we'll get her on the show.
Yeah, I'll tell her to call
you.
I'll tell her to call you.
Yeah, we should get her on the show.
Just make sure you're...
She's probably our most requested guest, and it's not even a boxer. You know what I'm saying? This is a chick who does porn or whatever she does.
Dude, the Barrientos twins wearing the Louis Vuitton... they're doing Louis Vuitton modeling. They're on the Louis Vuitton page. The Barrientos twins, the guys.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't peeping them out like that, man. I wouldn't like looking at them that hard.
Is he really getting excited about two twin males modeling Louis Vuitton underwear?
Oh, hey, God.
That's how you become a star by doing shit like that. That's how Jake Paul became a star.
This is getting too creepy.
But you didn't see him in the outfit.
And shout out to Aaron Daly. That guy's a real one. Shout out to Aaron.
You didn't see how good they look, Beebe. What's the matter with you?
What's going on with Ohio?
It's like
about being
a man, son.
From Ohio? Do we have any fires from Ohio coming up?
What?
Or Ohio's totally done now?
Jake Paul, son. You might have saw him last night. That's the fighter from Ohio. All right, man. We're going to get moving.
Do we need any more fighters from Ohio? We're already there.
They're already here.
What do you mean coming up? They're already up.
From El Paso, Texas, 915, you're live.
What's going on? Can you guys hear me?
What's happening, man?
How are you doing tonight, Mr. Anaya?
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really, really, really good right now.
Are you feeling Oscar De La Hoya good?
You know what I mean? But I don't know what was up with Oscar De La Hoya, man. Like,
DeLorean?
That was bizarre, to say the least. But I wanted to just talk about how the tables have really turned for the MMA world, because for the longest time, you know, I had to hear constant, like, MMA fighters wanted to challenge our world champions and and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And if, you know, but McGregor went 9 rounds of Floyd or whatever it was, even though I feel he carried him. Paulie Malignaggi, even though it was a bare-knuckle fight and everybody knew he had brittle hands and he was going to break his hands, right? He lost to a nobody. This guy was a USC flunky, and Paulie lost to him. And it's just kind of ironic how the tables have turned, and now some novice boxer, so some YouTuber, that's knocked out a former Bellator world champion of MMA. Now, I get that the guy is not a striker, but I don't give a shit. I just love the fact that the tables have turned. I love the fact that the Chael Sonnens that like to, you know, talk about how a real, like, boxing is not a real sport. You know, now they just have to witness what they witness. You know, hold this L, MMA. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I tell you what, Askren, did you think that, you know, when you watched that fight, did you think Askren even trained for it? I mean, he didn't look like he trained at all. From the way his body looked,
and
the way
he
was throwing,
like,
punches.
He probably had a, I think he had a shirt with Dorito stains on it, took that off and just walked to the ring. That's how I felt. Like,
right?
I don't understand what he was thinking. I do honestly believe this, though. I do believe that Askren just felt, this is just a stupid YouTube kid. I'm going to go in there and just knock him out. I think he honestly believed that. I think when people told him, come on, like, you went at it with Robbie Lawler. This kid ain't going to knock you out. I think he believed it. I think when Freddie Roach was telling everybody, Askren's going to beat him up, watch. I think he believed all that. And I don't know why stuff like this happened, just like CM Punk was in a, you know, like, in all seriousness, CM Punk was in an MMA gym, and people there were pumping him up. Like, they were telling everybody all the things that you supposedly want to hear. Like, no, he's ready. Like, he's training with world-class MMA fighters, and CM Punk's going to shock the world. And, you know, I just kind of feel like that happens sometimes, you know, so it is what it is.
Yeah, he was, I thought Paul looked pretty good, though. I did. I actually thought Paul looked pretty good. I mean, like you said, he knows how to throw punches. I wouldn't put him in there with anybody, like, you know, experienced, but I think he can hold his own for a little bit. He's good.
Well, look, what makes him different then? It's just the only thing is that he's under a microscope right now, right? And he's obviously using his big YouTube platform, so everyone is watching his rise. But what makes him any different than some, you know, 18, like, think of a boxer that took a boxing at a very, now, look, I'm not comparing him to Winky Wright now, okay, before somebody jumps on me, but Winky Wright didn't become a boxer until he was, like, 18. You know what I mean? Like, what makes him different than the mechanic?
Deontay Wilder,
you know what? I'm going to start. What is that?
I said Deontay Wilder took up boxing, I think, when he was 20.
Yeah, like, so my point is, what makes him different than any other prospect that took up boxing late? I'll tell you one big difference. He doesn't need to work a second job full-time. He could put more focus on this, and he could afford world-class training that could focus just on him. Not a lot of people have that, right? So I'm not surprised that this kid can, you know, can box, because boxing is a skill. It's a skill that could be learned. You know, there's obviously levels to it, but, you know, for people saying he's disrespecting the sport, is he really? I mean, he's really getting in there and doing it, right, which is more than a lot of us could say. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't have a problem with what the kid's doing. He's turning heads, and if the MMA dudes will want to show that they have better hands than boxers, then, you know, you got to call Jake Paul first. You know, if you pass Jake Paul, then we could talk about a real professional boxer. You know what I mean?
Let me pose a question here, because I think this is pretty interesting. Do you think Jake Paul beats Oscar De La Hoya?
You had to think, though. I
had to think about it, too. I would probably favor Oscar in that. But
it was a delay. It was a delay.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure he beats him. I'm not 100% sure
Oscar
would beat him, man.
I think Jake Paul
Jake
beats
Paul's
him.
Jake Paul's bigger? Jake Paul's
I think
Jake bigger?
Paul doesn't beat
yeah.
him.
Paul beats
him.
I bet you $1,000 right now.
I don't know, man.
You're telling me right
now. Bet you $1,000.
I don't know.
Like, first of all, here's how he beat Ben Askren. He was hard fainting and Astrid was falling for the feints. You really think it's going to work on an Oscar De La Hoya, or is going to pop him with a jab? And what's going to happen with that left hook?
Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya is 48 years old right now.
Yep, that's the thing.
48 years old. His body has been a coked-up version. He's abused his body for the last 10 years. Jake Paul beats him. I think he knocks him out.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That was a good one.
You
would have
beat him
question,
last night, that's for sure. But, hey, guys, I want to thank you for taking my call. I got to run. Ringside Reporter, man, this is where it's at. Sunday nights. All right, I'm out.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Hey, when is – okay, so D-Style's got Hispanic Scholars Panic on Tuesdays?
Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
I do Throwback Thursdays with them. That's the best show.
That's probably the worst show they got, I think.
Best show.
I think it's probably – you know what would work? I think if they just, like, muted you and they did the show, it would probably get better ratings.
Never.
But since they have you on there, I think the Tuesday and Wednesday get much more ratings than the Thursday
silent.
Show, for sure.
I can be heard even through closed caption.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Hey, Georgie.
Georgie.
How you doing? Did you get your COVID
vaccine yet? Hey, what's happening, people?
Get the vaccine yet, Georgie?
What was that?
You get the COVID vaccine yet?
Nah, man, my girl, she volunteered for that shit. I told her not to take it, but she want to go and volunteer for the goddamn whatever.
Yeah, I just want to go get COVID, so don't worry about the vaccine, you know? What's the matter with you? You were the one that brought COVID to our attention. Now you're not even getting the vaccine. What are you doing?
He's a denier.
Listen, brother, I just want to know.
Yeah, I know,
I just want to know your opinion on the Tony Harrison fight and the Pirella dude.
Thought it was boring.
I liked the fight. I thought Pirella won the fight.
I think Harrison's on the slide.
That nigga got robbed. Yeah. Didn't that nigga got robbed?
Who? Pirella?
I think Pirella won the fight.
Pirella, dude.
Robbery.
That nigga got robbed.
If you're asking me, who I thought won the fight.
The last 3 weeks. Listen, the last 3 weeks being robberies, babe. I forgot who got robbed the last week, but I remember somebody got robbed. And before last week, what fucking Chocolatito got robbed? And then we go beside. Nigga, we motherfucking can get a fair fight. Listen, this shit is so disgusting. So disgusting that Tony Harrison corner was telling Tony Harrison to go out there and have fun. Because these niggas already know what's coming down the pipe. Not even the effort. They already know they're walking out of there at least with a draw. They already know that. It's bad, baby. It's that bad. I just don't get it how so-called boxing fans, they're not outraged about this shit. I'm like the only voice out here who come in here fucking pissed about this shit.
Aaron Bailey, thank you
else,
so much. We appreciate it.
Say what? Yo. What'd you say?
I said Aaron Bailey, thank you so much.
You got a super chat. We're just thanking someone for giving us a super chat. That's
JC, thank you so much. We appreciate it, man.
Just thank
listen,
you for donating money
there
to us.
Support the channel, baby. Everybody
right.
out there support the channel, baby. Because if these motherfuckers, listen, if these motherfuckers got me here speaking, this shit is real, doggy. Get that straight. Get that straight. You're not going to hear Georgie Paul, you know the fucking channel. Why? Because motherfuckers know what time it is. They know what I bring. They know what's up. I'm not going to, I love boxing before I love any boxer. Before I fucking respect any so-called conglomerate or force combattery that your motherfuckers call sanctioning bodies. That's where the fucking true love of the sport should be at, on the sport itself. These motherfuckers who run this shit, these niggas against you, all of them, fuck them. Listen, like I said, support the real, I don't have a lot to say. I'm out.
All right, Georgie. Rikers, baby. from Rikers all the way out to L.A. 323, you're live.
Yo, what's good? What's good? It's your boy H Money, Mr. DAZN. How y'all feeling?
H Money. What's happening, man?
What's good, Eric?
Feeling a lot better
what's
now
good,
that we got
Eric?
You on the line, H Money.
It's all
what's good,
Habib.
How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Haven't been this happy in several years.
So let's get straight to the smoke, man. Let's get straight to the smoke, guys. Yesterday was a great night of boxing. I got breaking news. Jake Paul does 1.3 million pay-per-view buys. This is breaking news. He just went on his YouTube channel, and he said that they generated $65 million off of 1.3 million pay-per-view buys. Let me get the thoughts from a Ringside Reporter, please.
Listen, I tell you what, if Jake Paul said that, you know what? I got a tendency to believe him. I don't know.
Me too.
It doesn't. If that's truly the number, honestly, it doesn't shock me. Jake Paul is a big deal. Both these guys, Logan Paul and Jake Paul. I didn't know who they were when they came out, but my kids both did. Both Antonio and Elena knew who they were. But before, when we talked about the KSI fight or whatever, they knew who they were. These guys are huge on YouTube. Their YouTube stuff, like everybody knows them. You know, I mean,
yes.
We don't know them because we're not in that world. But all the kids and everybody, they know them. They've got millions and millions of followers. That number doesn't shock me at all.
I've become a fan of both of them.
Well, they're from Ohio. How could you not?
That's why.
Me too. Me too, BB. Even KSI, I think he's a big deal as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all big deals. Yeah. They're all like huge. Like, yeah. Like my daughter knew who KSI was. I had no idea who KSI was. She was like, oh yeah, he's the rap guy or whatever. He does, you know, videos.
And guess what, Eric?
I'm
pretty sure.
Yeah.
Eric, I'm pretty sure she doesn't know who Errol Spence is, but she knows who Jake Paul is. You know.
100%. Yeah. She has no idea who Spence is, but she knows exactly who is Jake Paul
point.
For sure.
That's
what people don't understand. That like, so when you get those numbers like 1.3 or whatever, if that's the number, that doesn't shock me. I mean, that doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
They're good for boxing. It is, because it brings more eyes here. How many people saw Regis Prograis last night, didn't know who he was? You know, but now they know. It's huge.
It is. It is. So what do you guys think about Demetrius Andrade's performance? I think he won the fight. It was pretty easy, but at the end of the day, he did take some punishment. He got hit with some shots that I've never seen him get hit like that. I mean, he did get dropped by Vonnez Monerosian, but it was only one punch. But in that fight with Liam Williams last night, he kept getting hit. He kept getting hit. And it looked like his legs wasn't there, Beeb. You know, do you think Demetrius Andrade lost the step, Beeb?
Here's the thing.
I don't think he lost the step. You know, do you, Beeb? I don't think he lost a step. I just think he might not have been that good.
Here's the thing. He's 33 years old. So the thing is this. When you look at someone who has habits and they continue to display those habits, right? Habits become behavior, right? And then after that, the behavior becomes proof. So you could sit there and say, well, you know, he fought like that because of who he was in there with. But if the habits continue to be consistent, then that becomes behavior. And then the behavior becomes proof that, yes, maybe he's not as good as people thought he was. He's a good fighter. He's a championship-level fighter. But he's not an elite fighter. He's made out to be this defensive wizard, not a defensive wizard. Because if you watch him, he makes a lot of mistakes. When he leans forward, he has his shoulders. We're taught in the gym I used to go to, we were always taught never extend your shoulders over your knees, whether it be forward or backward.
Right.
When you watch him, when he bends, he pulls back his head and his shoulder when he leans back, and then he gets down so low, and he just leans into punches. Okay? His stance is so wide, and because of that, his balance is poor. So when your stance is wide, you're forcing yourself to take longer strides when you move. And because of that, you're increasing the amount of energy and you're moving more and you're putting more effort into moving forward or backward than you should. And you're going to tie yourself up that way instead of taking small, subtle steps. This guy does a lot of things that I think someone like Canelo, someone like Charlo, someone like Billy Joe Saunders, someone like Golovkin would exploit. And he hasn't fought anyone on that level. Anyone on that level. At least when you look at Billy Joe Saunders, you could say, yeah, well, you could say he fought Chris Eubank Jr. You could say he fought David Lemieux. You know, you could say he, you know, fought, well, did he fought a couple other guys that I can't think of the top of my head. But you know, you look at everyone's resume in this, in from 160 to 168, they all have better resumes than Andre by a mile, by a country mile.
I think, but I'll be honest with you now. And Andre, and I didn't mean to say Andre's not good. Andre is very good, very world-class fighter, fighter.
But he's overrated. But he's overrated.
Right. I think people expect more from him than he can really give, you know. And the thing is, I think that this fight was actually pretty good for him because I think now opponents will come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you know what, I want to fight that guy next because I don't think he's got, you know, I don't think he can beat me. So he may have just opened the doors for a lot of better fights for himself.
And G, to answer your question about how did he look, here's the thing. You could be scoring a fight, and at the end of this fight, I did score this fight 9-3 for him. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of those rounds that he won, he was laboring very hard to win those rounds. He was breathing heavy to win those rounds. He was looking very uncomfortable in winning those rounds. And he barely won a lot of those rounds because a guy like Liam Smith, who was supposed to be nowhere near his level, definitely doesn't have the speed, definitely doesn't have the reflexes, definitely doesn't have the the size or whatever. He had so many disadvantages in this fight going in on paper. He was a 4-1 underdog in this fight, and he rocked Andre, I think I want to say it was the 7th or 8th round, and it happened at the end of the round. And he looked hurt, and it almost looked like the ropes held him up at that particular moment. And if he had more time, he could have followed up, maybe knocked Andre down in that round. I'm not saying he would have stopped him. But here's the thing. Yeah, he's winning these fights, but he's looking very ragged when he's winning these fights. He's looking very worn out in the process of winning these fights. He's breathing hard now. He's 33 years old. He's 6'1". I don't even think he can really make 160 comfortably anymore. I think he's hurting himself just like he was trying to make 154. I think he grows out of these weight classes, but he stays in them too long. He should be fighting at 168 at this point. You know, I think he's growing out of this weight class just like he grew out of 154. But again, he's good. But just because someone's good, you know, and we say they're overrated, that doesn't mean they're not good. That just means they're not as good as advertised. He's not this boogeyman that nobody wants to fight, that everyone's afraid of. I mean, Lara wanted to fight him. That fight was on the table. He turned that fight down. What was that Chudinov fight? Remember that Chudinov fight at 160?
Yeah.
He turned that fight down, you know? And then he was sitting at a table one time with Billy Joe Saunders, and Billy Joe Saunders says, I don't think either one of us is ready for Golovkin right now. You didn't hear him say, I'm ready for him. He didn't refute it. You know what I mean? So I think Golovkin beats him right now. I think Canelo beats him right now.
I don't think Golovkin beats him right now. I think Canelo beats him.
I think now he does. I'll tell you why, Eric. You know, I'll tell you why. Because Demetrius Andre is a horrible inside fighter. He's not a good inside fighter. And he doesn't deal well with pressure either. You can see him. He gets pushed back very easily, right? And he likes to hold a lot on the inside. I think Golovkin, I think Derevchenko beats him. I think a lot of guys beat him.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Do you think Munguia beats him?
He didn't do
it. Does Jaime Munguia beat him right now?
I don't think so, no.
No, but he would.
It would be a good fight.
He would push him. Push him to the limit.
You know, and that was a showcase fight for him last night. Liam Williams was a showcase fight for him last night. And he should have wiped this guy.
I think it was mandatory, though, Eric. It was a mandatory.
Right, but it was a showcase fight, though, no? I mean, everybody expected
Andre to win this fight
pretty easy. Yeah, I mean, everybody expected him to win this fight fairly easy, you know.
At the end of the day,
and it wasn't easy. It was his toughest fight, Eric. It wasn't easy. It was his toughest fight. And now you got to remember, Liam Smith, he beat Liam Williams twice already. Outboxed him pretty easy.
I don't think
Andre Legs was there, Beeb. I think the layoff has something to do with his performance. He's been inactive.
His legs wasn't there.
Can't
make 160 anymore. Can't make 160 anymore. He shouldn't be fighting at 160 anymore. He should do what Saunders did, move up to 168.
So do you think he's ready for a Benavidez at 168?
I think Benavidez beats him.
I
think a lot of guys beat him. Here's the thing, G. He hasn't gotten better, and these other guys have gotten better. Now, Golovkin probably definitely has diminished a bit, but has he diminished enough to the point where a guy like Andre can beat him? I don't think so.
I don't know. He hasn't looked good in his last couple outings, not to mention he's been on the shelf for quite a while.
Yeah.
I get, like the Golovkin we're thinking about beats Andre. I don't know if this Golovkin beats him.
Well,
you know what I mean? I don't know.
I respect that.
I just don't like the fact of how uncomfortable Andre looks when someone gets in his chest.
I don't like
how he handles the pressure. I don't like how he deals with someone when someone gets inside on him. He seems very uncomfortable dealing with someone on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's Golovkin's game. He's a great inside fighter.
And he has power too. He's a devastating puncher.
Yes.
Triple G can knock him out. You know, if Williams was able to hurt him, if Vonnez Monterosian dropped him, Triple G could cut his lights out. Triple G can knock him out, especially if his legs aren't there. You know, Triple G, he's good at cutting off the ring. He's a master of putting pressure on opponents. So it'll be a tough fight. Hopefully somebody will step up and fight him right now because he is a champion. So now I heard Eric mention, of course, I know you represent Ohio. I seen an Ohio prospect take his first loss yesterday by the name of Otha Jones III. He took his first loss on DAZN. Also, another prospect took a loss. A friend of the show, Vito Malinecki, only 18 years old, suffers a devastating loss. He took a lot of punishment in there. If Vito is listening to the show, this is H Money. Keep your head up, man. You know, a true champion can take a loss and bounce back. I think he was rushed. He wasn't ready for an opponent like James Martin. He's still a very good fighter, and I think he can still be a champion one day, to be honest with you guys.
There you go. All right, H Money, we're going to get moving here, man. Thank you so much for the call, as always. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that Vito was rushed. I think he just had a bad night at the office. I really do. And let's face it, that fight could have went either way. It could have been a draw. Could have been, you know what I mean?
I mean, I had it 77-75. It could have easily been a draw.
I thought that James Martin fought a really good fight. I thought that James Martin beat him. That being said, listen, man, you're a couple rounds either way.
I just don't think it was a devastating loss. I mean, obviously a loss is not good. No one wants a loss.
Yeah.
But it was not a devastating loss.
Yeah.
It's not something you look at and say, damn, man.
Wow, he got crushed.
He got wrecked. No, he didn't get wrecked. He lost the fight. Lost the fight. He lost the fight 5-3.
Yeah. It wasn't like anything too crazy, you know? It wasn't like anything nuts.
He didn't get blown out?
No. Also, too, on that PBC card, Omar Juarez beats Elias Araujo. I think Araujo. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He lost. Scores were 98-92, 99-91 twice. Juarez looked good, man. He did what he had to do. He looked all right. He looked good. Friend of the show, by the way. El Relampago. All right. Let's go to the schedule coming up here. On April 20th, let's see here. Yeah, April 20th on FS1, Jose Resendez versus Castillo Madera, 8 rounds middleweights. Who's watching that? Come on, man. Stop it. Let's see here. On April 24th on ESPN and ESPN Plus, Emmanuel Navarrete versus Christopher Diaz, 12 rounds for Navarrete's WBO featherweight title. Edgar Berlanga versus Damon Nicholson, 8 rounds super middleweights. And that's it for this weekend. That's pretty much it for this weekend. There's a card in Japan nobody of note there. Let's see here. So one big one on the ESPN. Listen, I'm not really interested in the Navarrete fight. I don't know, maybe. I mean, I'm obviously going to watch it. But the one I'm looking forward here is Edgar Berlanga versus Damon Nicholson. Is Damon Nicholson enough of a step up for Berlanga?
I don't think it's a huge step up.
I don't think it's a huge step up either. Why are we having this fight, man? I mean, I don't know if he knocks him out in the first round or not. But again, man, like, and I guess, you know, listen, man, at this time, what are these 16-0, 16 knockouts?
Yeah.
All coming the first round. You got to start stepping this guy up. You have to. You're doing this guy no favors by keeping this first round knockout streak going. This has got to go. This has got to end. And hopefully it ends, you know, hopefully it ends here and the pressure's off him or whatever. But this knockout streak is not good. Everybody, you know, it's not good in a lot of ways. You know, it's just not. He's going to get too used to his power. He's not going to be able to box that way. And when he steps up, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah. They're not preparing him,
yeah.
For tough situations when they arise, how he's going to have to deal with the adversity.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not being prepared for that. I don't know what's going on in the gym, but I just don't see how these fights can be beneficial to progressing him.
Well, they're not. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you can get a string of knockouts together, okay, but sooner or later, he's got to step up in competition.
Yeah.
We can make him 80-0. We can make him, you know, 30 or 40-0 with all first-round knockouts. But, again, sooner or later, you have to step up in competition.
I agree.
You know, it just is. It is what it is, man.
I totally agree.
All right, so let's go to the news and rumors here. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua have agreed. Beeb, it's all agreed upon. The site, apparently, everything has been agreed. They're just ironing out the paperwork and everything like that. I haven't heard a date on this, or I haven't heard anything firm, but the biggest thing is both sides agreed. Eddie Hearn came through, no? Say it.
I don't know. Because I heard Tyson Fury on Max on Boxing, I think it was on Wednesday. And Max asked him, you know, how are we looking for this fight? Everything seems like it's a go. And then, you know, Fury confirmed, yeah, we've had the sites, we agreed on the sites, but we're not anywhere closer than we were a week ago. So,
well, clearly they're closer than they were because they agreed on everything.
Well,
they didn't even have a site.
The words out of his mouth are, I'm still skeptical. And he says, until I'm in that ring, he says, I'm not going to feel comfortable. That's what he said. I don't know if he's bullshitting or not. But
I don't understand, like, his whole deal. I mean, like, in the camp, they are their whole camp. They're all, like, down in this fight. Either you want the fight or you don't want the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying because, you know, you got one guy in Anthony Joshua who seems very upbeat about it and he's positive about it, and you got this guy who's negative about it. So I don't know.
And his whole camp is negative about it. So
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
understand it, man.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm cautious. I'm going to continue to be cautiously optimistic and for one reason and one reason only, and that's Tyson Fury is always going to be the wild card here.
You know what I think? I think Anthony Joshua might beat him. I think Anthony Joshua wants this fight. I think he wants it more than Fury. I don't think Fury wants this fight. I really don't. I think he wants the payday along with it. I think Anthony Joshua might beat him.
I don't think so.
Oh, how dare you?
I mean,
Evander Holyfield and Kevin McBride on June 5th on Triller and the undercard or co-main or main event. I don't know. Teofimo Lopez versus George Gambosos is also on that undercard. So, Teofimo and Gambosos, did you see the presser for these two?
I did. I sent it to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, you did. I mean, is this beautiful or what? I mean, they know how to promote a fight, man.
He is doing a good job.
He does. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, man.
Both of them are doing a good job.
Both of them, they had to get in between both of them. They're in each other's faces barking. Because I could care less about Gambosos. We know Teofimo is going to wipe this fight. You know, it's not going to be close. Makes me want to tune in now. You know what I mean? Now I got to see it. Now I got to see what's going on. Eddie Alvarez says he's in serious talks to face Oscar De La Hoya. This is the guy that says I want to fight the best out there, and I've done this my whole career. And he's talking with Eddie Alvarez. Nothing against Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez is not a boxer. Plain and simple. There you go.
Well, you know, at least Mike Tyson is fighting other boxers,
right,
who are on his level and who are great like he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess these MMA guys are going to keep doing it, and the boxers are going to keep doing it because it sells. People are making, you know, they're making money off it. People are buying it. So what are we going to do? I mean, it's not going to go away until people stop buying it. And what did we do? Guilty as charged. I buy them too, so I can't
it.
Complain.
I bought it.
I can't complain, you know?
Yeah.
Guilty as charged. I'm buying them too.
Oh, also, too, I got some news. You remember that guy? Who was the guy who, I'm trying to think of his name. I can't remember his name, but he's the guy that quit against Joe Joyce. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Daniel Dubois.
Yeah, the guy who just quit on the big stage. You remember that, right? The guy who quit?
He had a horrible eye injury. That could have been.
Yeah, the guy who quit against Joe Joyce, anyway, will now get a title shot. All right, his last fight he quit, he will face Bogdan Dinu on June 5th for the interim WBA title. Are you for real?
Are you for real?
I don't know, everybody in the chat's putting Dubois' name down. Like, I actually forgot. Dubois, Eric, you know who it is.
You do a good acting job sometimes, man.
All right, let's talk about the Showtime schedule. Showtime put out their upcoming summer schedule here. I believe the summer schedule. Is there any more past that? No, it goes up to September. So, yeah, summer schedule.
Yeah.
May 15th. Let's go over these fights, man. Louis Nery versus Brandon Figueroa. That's
good
a fun fight.
Fight.
That's a fun fight.
Good
I think
fight.
You got to take Nery, but I think it's a fun fight.
Right.
This is the fight, man. This is the fight I want to see. I've wanted to see this for the longest time now. Nordin Ubali versus Nonito Donaire.
I've always wanted this
All
fight,
the
yeah.
fights, I want to see this one. This is the one I want to see, man.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good one.
This is the one I want to see. June 19th, Jermall Charlo versus Juan Montiel.
Horrible fight.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Horrible fight.
June 26th, on pay-per-view, Showtime pay-per-view, of course, Gervonta Davis versus Mario Barrios.
Not crazy about that. That's a thumbs down.
July 3rd, Chris Colbert versus Yuriorkis Gamboa. Why Yuriorkis is still strapping him up, I don't know.
I don't like that one
I hate
either.
The fight.
That's a bad one.
July 17th, Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castaño. This seems
Love
to
it.
Be the fight that everybody really likes. Castaño, now he tied. It was a draw with him and Lara, right?
I thought he won, though.
Did he? We all thought he won that fight, right?
We all thought he won, yeah. We all thought he won.
Yeah.
It's a bad decision.
Yeah, so that's a good fight, man. That's a good
fight.
That's
a great fight.
August 14th, Guillermo Rigondeaux versus John Ryle Casimero. I'm just lukewarm on that.
I'm gonna put that one in the who cares column.
But yeah, I'm not crazy about it. Not crazy about it.
I don't like that one.
August 22nd, David Benavidez versus Jose Uzcategui, the middleweight WBC middleweight super middleweight eliminator.
I don't care about that one.
I'm not crazy about that one either. I think that's a showcase. And Stephen Fulton on September 11th versus the winner of Nery and Figueroa.
Really like that one.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that because if Nery wins, which we suspect he will,
So this schedule out of a scale of 1 to 10 would probably get a 6.5, 7.
I think so,
It's about a C. Everyone's going crazy about this schedule.
I didn't think
out of
the
nine,
great. Yeah, I didn't think
Out of the 9 fights, I like 4 of them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man. I watch all the fights, and they're good fights. I mean, they've got some good fights on there. Like I said, that Nordin Ubali and Nonito Donaire, that's the fight I want to see.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that for a long time. Luis Nery and Brandon Figueroa, that's a fun fight. Charlo versus Castaño, that's a good fight. You know, I mean, but
there's four out of those nine fights, there's 4 really good fights.
Yeah.
The other ones are kind of meaningless.
Yeah, I could.
Jason's like, the schedule.
Oh my God.
It's an okay. This out of the 9 fights, 4 of the fights are good.
Listen, I don't hate it. I'll watch.
It's an average schedule.
Yeah,
it's an average schedule.
I like the zone
schedule, but I think better because there's more solid fights on that schedule. They released a schedule of 6 fights. I think I liked 5 out of the 6.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, and somebody said MEZ Box said the Lubin and Rosario. There's Erickson Lubin versus Jason Rosario is on the undercard for that Gervonta Davis pay-per-view. I'm not real crazy about that either. I'll be honest.
That's an okay one.
All right. I'm not crazy about it, though. Yeah, I'm not crazy about that pay-per-view, I'll be honest. That pay-per-view should not be a pay-per-view. But I don't know.
What, the Areola one?
That goes without saying. But the Davis and Barrios.
Oh,
that
yeah,
could
I
just be
like
a Showtime fight. That could just be a Showtime fight. There's no reason
no,
to pay for that.
I don't know what PBC is doing here with these pay-per-views, but we'll see. We'll see if it plays out. We'll see if it pans out for him.
Yeah, let me tell you what. Andy Ruiz is no Logan Paul or Jake Paul. I'll tell you that. They ain't pulling in any numbers for that fight.
I am interested to see what this version of Andy Ruiz looks like, but I'm not crazy about having to pay $5.
Listen, man, I don't care what Andy Ruiz, what version we get. I could care less. Who's he fighting? Chris Areola. The guy. I mean, listen,
no,
man.
I hear you. For me, there's a curiosity factor to see, can he come back? You know, he's supposed to be in the best shape of his life. He's supposed to be real lean and mean. I want to see what this lean, mean, Eddie Reynoso trained version of Andrew Ruiz looks like. I'm just curious to see that. Am I happy about having to pay $55 to see it? No. And I don't think anyone else is as well, but there still is a little bit of intrigue for me on this fight. I hate the opponent. I feel bad that it's Chris Areola because I think he's going to get hurt. But
yeah,
I'm just curious to see what Andrew Ruiz looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my thing on the whole thing.
Yeah, but that card, that other, you know, that undercard there is not great either.
No, they're not strong cards. Neither one of them.
What did you say the pay per view was for that? How much?
55, I heard.
55?
Yeah.
That's not too bad. I guess it's not bad. It's better than like 80. You know what I mean? That's not bad.
I am desperate. You know that, again, it's part of a sickness. You guys have been watching long enough to know that I have a sickness. Okay? I'm trying to justify in my mind why I should be buying these pay-per-views. And the only thing I can come up with is I'm a loser. There's no way of getting around it.
What are we going to do?
Nothing we can do. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged.
That's it.
I put my hand up straight in the air.
That's it. That's what we do.
You guys know. You guys should know by now. Don't act surprised when I talk like this.
No. That's how we do it, man. That's all we can do. All right, guys. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. We will catch you guys next week.
Hope Robbie goes to confession this week, all the sins he committed. Tired of his crap.